I'm going to feel real weird doing this, so I'm going to let you do it. Go intro yourself.
Hey, this is Roger JP. How you guys doing? Hey, Mo, how you doing?
Why'd they wake me up, Roger?
Well, I mean, I'm not here to do the show, really. I just stopped in to say hello to you guys and Brennan and all those guys, Mike Olivero, because we just flew in this morning. We just got here.
Being yourself and your wife, of course.
Yeah, my wife Susan is here.
Who I got to meet and who I had no idea, and I'm going to get a little bit Weinstein-y here, was as hot as she is. Y'all kicked your coverage, Rod. You know this.
I definitely outkicked my coverage. No kidding.
Yes,
JR has always told me that, and now you're telling me that.
JR, no. Monica is in here as well. Hey, girl.
I'm sitting next to Roger.
Yes, you are.
What's this about?
Yeah, so we're here for the week. You know, we're going to be, Susan's parents are in Venice. That's where her grandfather originally settled in Florida back in like the, what, early 60s, something like that? 70s. Okay, 70s.
Right.
So her parents came down when they retired. And so we're coming to visit them and her aunts in Englewood and... you know, so we'll be all over the place. Going to go see Ed Weigel, the voice of wrestling. We hit it off at the Not So Live Gig 3, so we're going to drink it with Ed Weigel.
Okay.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, that'll be real nice. Okay.
And so I got a few things planned for the week.
The reason that the people, and I'm sure you talked about this on your show, but in case someone did not hear, the reason you and JP are not going to be on the air this week is because JP...
We're on vacation this week. This is the big school week, so Brett's son is on vacation this week.
Jake's
kids are on vacation, so he took his family on a cruise, and we were coming down here to come visit family and hang out in the sunshine in the 80-something degrees. It's beautiful.
Let me ask you this, because, and this is certainly not a criticism, because I love sitting in for you guys, and I appreciate the fact that you have the faith in me to allow, because you're handing over the keys to your vehicle.
Of course.
But how do I get on the white vacation plan? Because y'all always on vacation.
Always.
Y'all, Monica, am I lying?
You take a lot of vacation.
What
is it, a white vacation plan? Are you sure?
I just want, what vacation package do you and JP have?
Well,
are you on a 5-week plan?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, but you've been in the game.
We have 33
days.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
33 days.
You put in the time. You deserve it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, listen. I'm not making fun of you.
I've been at the
station
in New York since 1984 when I was a kid. I was 21 and going into my senior year in college, and that's when they hired me part-time. So I've been there except for 4 months when I got hired away. That was it.
What was your first, when they hired you part-time to do what? Were you intern? No, if you were hired, they weren't.
I came in on a, what you call it, I can't think at college.
Internship?
Yeah, yeah.
That's
it was an internship.
That must have been an Ivy League college.
I'm on 2 hours sleep. I couldn't even think of the word internship after you said intern. Yeah, that's how it is. I went in and I did commercials for a month, and the guy was like, "Hey, do you do a radio show?" And I did at my college. We were doing heavy metal in like 1982, 83, when Def Leppard broke and Quiet Riot broke.
Right.
And so I gave him my tape of me introducing Dokken and bands like that. And he's like, "All right, we'll hire you." And I went into his office. I'm like, God, I'm on the biggest rock station in number, at the time, 12 market in the country.
Right.
And it's like a dream come true. And he says, all right, we pay $4.50. And I was like,
$4.50.
Back then, that was like $80 an hour back then.
I'm going to make $450 bucks a week. I'm sitting there, I'm like, I'm working in a department store. I'm doing work study at school. I'm going to school. I'm like, wow, this is great.
What year was this?
I thought it was going to be 1984. I thought it was going to be $4.50 a week. It was $4.50 an hour. So that was my night. So I said, that's amazing. I love it. And he goes, you know, I mean $4.50 an hour, right? I go, my face just dropped. I couldn't hide it. And this guy, Bob Buckman, who's great, he's on KGB in San Diego till mornings now. He's just a great radio guy and a great guy. But he says, you still want the job? I was like, of course I want the job.
Yeah.
So I haven't had a job yet, and I'm already sitting there my first minute in his office, and I'm disappointed. Like, my heart just fell down to my shoes.
Yeah, but that set the tone for radio, didn't it?
Well, I had this image in my head of I'm going to this amazing station. It must be this kind of money. You know, I didn't know what to expect.
Right.
So I found out what to expect.
Look at that. So
full-time, they hired me for $12,250.
So you've been in the game 34 years. Yeah. Never looked back.
No, sir.
Never had a job outside of it after you started radio.
Never. I've had additional jobs.
Additional jobs, right. Being on radio.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
I went to Hartford, Connecticut for 4 months, and other than that, I've been at BAB on Long Island the whole time. And it's, my job just kept changing, so why wouldn't I do that?
Did your voice, because obviously you've got this voice, did your voice take you to the job, or was it something that you had wanted to do?
I always liked music. I sat around in high school 3 hours a day playing my electric guitar.
Right.
And, you know, playing Black and Black straight through and ZZ Top to Guayo. Albums. I'm like, oh, man, I love music. And I listen to radio 24/7. And then they had an amateur hour on WHCN in Hartford. My parents were in Connecticut at the time. And so I went on this amateur hour, and I was like, wow, with my braces and my mouth full of metal. And here's Molly Hatchet. You like Molly Hatchet? It was just horrible. And I said some sort of radio cliches that I heard, you know.
Right, right.
But after I did that, I was like, wow, that was cool. Then I went to Connecticut School of Broadcasting in the first high school class they ever had for 16 weeks. My mom was like, let's spend $100 a week for you to go do this before you spend $12,000 a year to go to college.
Right, right.
So I did that as a high school kid, and I learned the basics, you know, how to make records go into each other and do segues and real basic stuff.
This is when we I'm younger than you. I don't know by that much, but I started out in rock radio, and I was an intern, and this was back when we had to slice the tape. JR has no idea.
No, when you're physically taking a there's just razor blades everywhere in the studio.
Yeah,
so you wouldn't these days. Nobody would leave razor blades around
unless they're doing coke.
We had guys who would walk around, like the real editing guys. They'd have a razor blade in their wallet in case they had to edit something on the fly they didn't expect.
It crazy.
It was weird. You just like, actually cut the tape, put tape over it.
Digital is so much better. All of my on-air experience, all of my on-air breaks and everything was on a reel-to-reel that decade later, I finally got, what am I ever going to do with this? And I'm sorry that I didn't save it. And if I'd had the foresight, I'd have saved it and said, okay, I can dub it on to something later.
Right, because all that tape goes bad.
But it's lost. It's do you have anything back from your old days?
Oh, I want to hear it so bad.
No, honestly, I don't have much at all. In fact, I'd have to find the probably cassette air checks up in the attic. They're probably ruined. I've got interviews with great people too, and they just sit there, and I'm like, oh well, whatever. What are you gonna do? It's just air, you know.
Did you always have the same voice back then when you first started, or did you kind of
pretty much?
Oh, okay,
pretty much.
Yeah, you always sounded sexy your whole life.
Now, 16, it turned, and that's when actually from being in music and trying everything. A lady in a store said to my mom, as we were checking out, I said something, and she goes, you know, you have a nice voice. You should be on the radio. That's when I was 16.
Yeah,
I walked out. My mom, to her credit, heard it. I didn't think anything of it. I'm just a dumb, quiet 16-year-old kid. Knows what's going on.
Right.
And she's like, you know, maybe you should think about radio. You love music. I'm like, ding, light goes on. So that lady, whoever she was, my mom.
Yeah. Where is that lady?
Changed her life.
That's when I went to school broadcasting and the rest is history. So
now, was your hot wife, time. Susan, was she?
Hey, listen. Hey, Mo, I saw her first.
Was she a listener? Did you meet her via the radio?
When I was at BAB, I was doing... She was.
Oh, wow. Come on. Yeah.
I was doing afternoon drive. This is, I was doing afternoon drive from 1990 to 2000, basically.
Okay.
And so she heard me in the very beginning when I first started. She was listening, used to hear me.
She sounded so much older. I said, no, he's way too old for me.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Now, you were a fan of radio or were you a casual listener? Like, had you called into other shows ever before?
I was a fan. I used to tell my coworker to tell her friend Roger to play more Billy Joel.
Did you play more Billy Joel?
So her coworker happened to be the wife of my former RA at school.
Okay.
So I used to go out. We used to go out and we used to like race sailboats on the bay on Tuesday nights. And he taught me how to do some pretty cool stuff and bring boats down the coast and stuff and get caught in storms. It was horrible. But anyway, I got a real friendship with that guy and his wife. And I'd be hanging at their house. And for 6 months, he's like, I got this girl at work. You guys would be perfect. I'm like, no. No,
oh,
no.
Well,
I was in my single
zone.
He's
got to be at least 30. He's
old. One day by coincidence, she happened to walk in with her. I was there having beers with my buddy, and she happened to walk in. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And then that night we just hung out, and I was like, 2 days later, took her to Billy Joel for New Year's Eve.
Oh,
I happened to have tickets.
You got to go to Billy Joel 2 days into meeting her.
2 days into meeting her, yeah.
That was your first date, kind of?
It almost didn't happen, though, because...
Go right on that mic. Yeah, get back real. Right up on it, please.
So it almost didn't happen because we met on... I guess around the 29th.
Yeah.
And then he was calling my house, and he kept hanging up on my answering machine because my dad had recorded the outgoing
old,
message.
So this old dude answered like, oh, I got the wrong number.
So there's a voice, so he's like,
you little pussy.
I just kept hanging up like,
oh, this is not right. What's going on?
I thought I had a stalker, and he was trying to call, and she finally said, my friend called and said, Roger's trying to call you.
Right.
So he asked me to the concert, but there was a catch. We had to drive from Long Island into Queens to pick up his two sisters, bring them to the
concert.
Like
the Pigeon Sisters from the Odd Couple. We had to pick them up.
He had gotten the tickets. Bring them back to Queens after we hung out at a bar nearby.
Yep.
So it was like a 7-hour first date.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was with a lot of people, so it wasn't like the most romantic thing. But it was New Year's
Billy
Eve.
Joel.
Billy Joel.
Yeah.
Stormfront tour.
Right.
Oh, so it was like a big night, and you know, he's playing two nights, and so we were there New Year's Eve, and that was our first date.
That's awesome. We were in a VIP box, and he mentioned Bob Buckman earlier, and Bob was in a tuxedo, and his wife
was
at the time
fur?
Was in a full-length fur coat, and I was like, wow, this is
so
really
you thought
something.
He was somebody. Because he had
the park,
sweet,
first night.
That's the way to do it.
And then after that, everything was let down.
So, I'd imagine Billy Joel is your thing then now. I mean, that's something that is an automatic, you know, romance.
Yeah, Billy
it's
Joel.
It's not our thing. I mean, she loves Billy Joel. I like Billy Joel.
That time period. Yeah.
But wasn't that your wedding song? It was going to be your wedding
song. I haven't told you lately, Van Morrison was our wedding song.
Oh.
Okay.
Rod Stewart made it.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Now, so, and never. Never look back. Never look back.
Never look back.
We didn't look back. 3 weeks in, I knew. Isn't that weird?
3 weeks in.
Yeah, I told JP that. It makes his head spin.
But
I just knew.
Yeah,
I kind of knew before that,
sometimes.
But I was like, just play it cool for at least a couple days. I just knew. I was like, holy crap, this is the girl.
So then how long was it till you proposed, if you knew in 3 weeks?
Almost a year.
Almost a year. Yeah, it was like right near, it was like December 23rd of the following year, so almost a year.
So it was 3 weeks for him. How long was it for you, Nolan?
Yeah.
A little bit longer?
No, I knew pretty quick.
It's weird when you just know. And now it's been, 27 years. So.
When I met his family around Easter, and his dad was just the cutest man. I was like, and father of six, great husband, great dad, and I went, apple tree.
Yeah.
If this dad is a great dad.
At the time, she didn't know that he was out of work for 3 years. And then we were like, four.
Yeah.
All right, Susan, what his most annoying trait? What if you could trade it?
No, this is easy. She tells me my annoying traits all the time.
I was going to say, how much time do you have?
We have a 3-hour show, so you have enough time.
You guys are on vacation. At the very beginning of your vacation, you cannot start fighting.
If you can change, it doesn't have to be anything that would break up the relationship, but one habit that he has.
He knows this is true. For someone in radio, he's not always a great communicator. He
Isn't
forgets
that
to tell me things. So
that's kind of radio.
That's
kind of guys.
Totally forget to, mention, by the way, we're going here or we're doing this.
But is that, that's just
a personal thing. I think a lot of guys are like that, and I'm definitely like that. I just forget I didn't tell her this or that, whatever.
When you said he was a bad communicator, I thought, because I get this from my wife, like you talk, and especially on a talk station, you'll talk for 3, 4, sometimes 5 hours, and when I get home, I need 30 minutes of no talking.
Yeah.
I mean, am I wrong?
That's so true.
He needs a 2-hour nap.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying?
I only have a 12-minute drive home, so I'm not totally wound down by the time I get home.
That makes sense.
Just not even ready to talk yet.
Right. Yeah. And sometimes women don't understand that.
If I'm home, I clear out, and he and the dog take their afternoon siesta.
Yeah.
And I just go and do what I have to do and just... The house is yours. Nice
and then I'm normal after that. I'm like, all right, now I can think. Because I can't even form sentences at that point.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No, after all day.
It's mentally a messed up day.
So. Would you describe Roger as a romantic?
I think so.
I feel like he's more smooth. I feel like he's more of a smooth operator than romantic.
That is the biggest compliment coming from you. I am so happy right now. I am so happy. If you think I'm even a little bit smooth, I'm so happy.
You got the JR smooth approval right there.
There you go.
Susan, you were saying that he's good at the little things. Give me an example.
When you
I didn't even hear her say that.
When you have someone that knows your Starbucks order. right. and just walks in. Here you go, honey. I just got this.
And that's smooth right there. That's smooth.
Yeah.
Smooth.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah. Valentine's Day, I get flowers 2 weeks early. They're cheaper then. So.
Is that how you roll around?
You're supposed to say, like, I give you 2 weeks worth of flowers in one day. Not because they're cheaper.
Do you go out? Or did you go out on Valentine's Day? Did you do something or do you push it
no,
back?
No, we stayed home. We made dinner. We had a really nice dinner.
Oh, and, he made heart-shaped ravioli.
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah.
Actually, he knocked Valentine's Day out of the park. Flowers, I got chocolate. He planned a dinner with heart-shaped ravioli and lobster tails.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, I walk into the store that afternoon. Lobster tails are on sale. I was like, we're having lobster tails. I just upgraded this meal, finally.
Well, now let me ask you this, Susan. If you know that he's this type of guy, if you know that this is his M.O., is the appreciation still there? Or is there a threat that you might take that for granted going, okay, Valentine's Day, I know Raj is going to cook this fantastic meal. And in other words, do you let him knock it out of the park with you afterwards?
No.
Monica's wincing.
No.
I'm saying, is the back door open for business?
Thank you. Time break. All right.
These are things people want to know.
Oh, man.
But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, we all know what you're saying, Mo.
I'm just saying, happy wife, happy life.
There you go. You can't beat that. Now you guys are going to be down here for about
until Friday night. Yeah.
Right.
So we got a nice long 5 days.
Monica, Roger told me the saddest story.
Uh-oh. What?
About what?
Marco Island. He had a plot. Go ahead. You had
a long time ago. Like long time. 1989. I had a plot of land on Marco that was. 50,
wait a minute. 50, you were just starting in 1984, making $4.40
an
hour.
That's what I said.
How are you getting a plot of land?
Well, because I was renting and I had left my first job. It was the $12,000 a year overnight job.
Listen to this, JR.
And I went to Hartford for 4 months for $19,000 a year. And then 4 months later, they wanted to hire me back, so I came back for $26,000 a year.
Nice.
So I went from 12 to 26 in 5 months.
Yeah.
Right? So that's like the best thing in the world. And I came back to my same apartment, split it with a buddy of mine. We're both sleeping on a twin bed, paying $250 a month. I mean, so I didn't have a lot of money.
But you're at your home station, too. You were more comfortable there. Yeah.
And I knew I wanted to, I came down to visit an old girlfriend who moved to Fort Myers when Fort Myers was just starting to build in 89, like really exploding. There were condos going up everywhere. And so she's like, you got to see this place. She drives me down to Marco Island. We come over the bridge. I go, what is this?
Yeah. Yeah.
It was like only one third of the house lots were built at the time.
Oh, no.
And I said, how big is this island? And then I saw
$55,000.
Yeah. I'm like, I can afford $500 a month. And I'll worry about the balloon payment after 5 years when I get there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I'll worry about it then because this is gold.
Yeah.
Plot of land on Marco Island for 55 large.
Oh, my God. So that's the end of 80, so that's the middle to the end of 89. I met Susan right after that.
We overlapped, the other girlfriend and I.
Oh, snap. Hey, oh, snap. Hold on. We'll get back to Marco Island.
I don't care about Marco Island.
She moved to Florida and, you know,
we happened.
Sorry, girl.
But the break.
Oh, man. She's like, I took your man.
Hold on now. So the breakup wasn't official before Billy Joe was singing Piano Man in your ear.
They weren't exclusive.
Yeah. Okay. And she moved down here. We were done. You know,
okay.
No big deal.
All right.
So I was coming down there one time to visit her because we thought maybe, and I'm like, this is ending as soon as I get down there, especially after I met her. I'm like,
right.
I said, I got to do this.
Aww.
I said, I already had the plane ticket. It sucks for her. I got to do this. I got to do the right thing. I'm not going to break up with her over the phone. We've been out for a few months.
Well,
she's a sweet person.
Let me ask you this then, Susan. Were you worried that there was a possibility that he would get down there and she'd put him on it, freak him out, and then he would stay down?
Oh, yeah. I had one of those happen.
I only knew you. I don't even know how long when I went down there. Maybe a month or two, I don't even know if it was that.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not that
really
serious,
No, we were.
Now, luckily, this was pre-cell phone, I'm assuming. So you didn't blow. You weren't able to blow him up like, how you doing? What's going on? Where's she at?
But the worst thing is, I say goodbye on Friday. I'll see you on
New York girl.
Monday. You know? Can you believe she just said, "Hey, girl"?
Yeah, just baffle me. I'm just
JR. You're affecting all parts of my life.
This is the New York girl. So the worst thing was what now? You were saying?
The worst thing is that she would not hear from me for 4 days when I came down here. As opposed to being able to text and say everything's cool.
Yeah, she doesn't know what's going on.
She had no idea.
He might come back.
Right.
Were you freaking out? Like, is this even...
You had to be.
Had to be.
Right?
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah.
Aww. So was there a big hug and everything when he got... You were surprised when he came return?
Something like that.
Man, look at you. Yeah. This is the New York girl.
I think when I came back, I remember him being like, all right, so what's going on?
Yeah,
like, I
felt like... Let's figure out what happened.
And then when I told her and I explained everything, I'm like, it's done. That's it. And then she realized and she's like... And then it melted away. Like,
Yeah.
Okay, so he buys this plot of land.
And I don't know I'm going to meet her 9, 8, 10 months, a year later, whatever it is. And then we get engaged and we get married, and a year after that, so it's maybe 2.5 years into having the property, we realize we want to have a house, and the guy says, you don't make enough money to get this house without selling that property.
Because you have too much debt.
Well, yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
My
debt to income ratio was off.
Right.
So I was like, oh, I don't want to do this, because I saw Marco and
I knew
what I had.
Yeah,
I knew it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Kill. That's the biggest regret probably in my life.
So he sells
it. I don't have many regrets.
He sells
like maybe two. I can't even think of the other one.
My biggest regret. He sells it for what he paid for it, but he loses about $750 in bank fees. So he actually loses money.
Yep.
He had it for $55,000.
Everybody's buying up. Canadians, Germans, Americans. Everybody's buying up Marco Island at the time.
Tell him how much that land is worth right now.
Well over $750,000.
Oh.
Isn't that
Roger,
ridiculous?
Tell me there's a
house.
That changes my life.
It's a house.
That was the land.
Yeah.
You know,
maybe it came up and down since, but the last time I looked, because I didn't look much, because it's so depressing.
Yeah.
So $750,000. It was a corner lot.
Hold on, Susan. Hey. When did you just look? Like last week?
I looked last year.
You can't do that to yourself.
I looked last year. The house is like 1.3 on that block.
Wow.
So I can afford that now. I had it then.
I know.
So who can afford that?
And now you're down looking for a condo.
Yeah. So whenever you guys are arguing, like, do you pull up like, if you didn't sell that land, we'd be millionaires now.
No, because he sold it for her.
The funny thing is that he misses the land more than the ex-girlfriend.
That's all that matters. That's all that matters.
That piece of land.
All right, listen. I know you want to go. If you want to stay, you can.
We got to drive down by the beaches. We got things to do. Okay. We got to grab lunch on the water.
Well, this has been a rare pleasure, and I actually went longer than I should because I knew you were going to stay
here.
We
do it all the time. The audience is totally used to it.
Perfect.
All you have to do is say, we're late. We should break. That's part of our show right there.
I rarely get to hang out with you guys and see you when you're in. If you're doing the night gigs, you know how it is, nighttime radio.
Right. We're all running on opposite schedules usually.
Absolutely. So this was a rare treat, and it was certainly a pleasure meeting
Thank
you,
you,
Susan.
And I think this is my first time on radio since they made the wives do a radio show for April Fool's Day about 20 years ago.
Oh.
They had all of us wives.
The wives replaced us on the air.
Really? Did you love that?
I was terrifying.
What do you do anything for life?
I'm actually looking for something right now. I'm in between opportunities.
Right, okay.
So I don't
time to
vacation.
Okay. I asked because your communication skills.
She was a marketing major, Mo.
With
a lot of communication abilities.
I tend to pick bad. I picked the company that is going out of business or real estate.
Moving out to Seattle.
I've been downsized. So
She is a combination of Reese Witherspoon and the woman from The Sopranos. Sopranos, when she was on 30 Rock, because your hair and your features are a lot softer than she was dressed up as in Sopranos.
Who from The Sopranos? She's never gotten that. She gets two people all the time. The people say to her, you look like
Who? Reese Witherspoon?
You definitely
like that though.
Oh, absolutely.
I see you're almost a perfect cross between Reese Witherspoon and what is her name again? The blonde next to Tony Soprano. Give me your name.
Edie Falco.
She looks anything like Edie Falco.
Oh, totally. It's a blend, though.
But it's a blend because she's much softer. Yeah. Now, there's Edie Falco in The Sopranos, but Edie Falco in real life, like when she did a guest stint on 30 Rock, and they didn't give her the jersey hair.
No. I think you're right. Nailed it between the two. A combination.
Yeah.
They had a baby. It's you.
But I can. You exude a very strong. A very strong aura, and
you do.
I mean, this
she's
is
a doll. She
is not to be trifled with, Roger.
No, she is not.
That might be why I'm out of work.
All right, get the hell out of here, Roger. We'll be back. It's the Roger and JP show.
Roger and JP on 102.5 The Buzz.